The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Class is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Well, hello and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Friday, that time of the week when we turn our attention to those things that are dear to our hearts and our spirits. And here in the greater Washington area, it is absolutely beautiful sunshine, a beautiful spring day, and I hope that you are enjoying the beginnings of change and springtime. Today, we have a guest. But before we get to our guest today, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about our topic that we had scheduled for today, and that is the cornerstones, the four cornerstones of spirituality. It's kind of a fitting topic because here at Spirituality, as you know, we are committed to supporting you in your spiritual growth, irregardless of the path that you may have chosen for your spiritual development. Here at Spirituality, we believe that all roads lead home, eventually. And we are here to provide support, to nurture you, to cheer you along, to bring perhaps a series of different perspectives for your consideration, and to encourage you to stay on the path of your choice as you grow wisdom, expand consciousness, and increase your vibration. So today I want to welcome you to Spirituality 101, those of you who are my regulars, and I want to particularly send out a very special welcome to those of you who may be listening to my voice for the very first time. If this is the very first time you have tuned in to Spirituality 101, I want to welcome you. Our e-card that went out said that the topic for today was the four cornerstones of spirituality. We have come to know that we are in the stream of a spiritual revolution, evolution. And for many of us, we are experiencing change at multiple, multiple levels. And in the midst of all this change, I just wanted to briefly remind each and every one of us of perhaps the four major, major cornerstones that help us to keep ourselves grounded and anchored while we are on this amazing journey. We're living in times that now allows us, if it is our intention, to move or shift into becoming masters of our own destiny, spiritual masters, as opposed to just spiritual followers. Up until now, we have been following very diligently. And now we've got the energy and the light and all that we need to assist us and propel us forward into change so that we can not only manifest or bring forth all that is within us, but that we also have the ability to shift and to change. And so I just want to give you the four cornerstones, and I want you to meditate on them. And I promise you that next week's show, we will go into detail about this. But I'll give you the four cornerstones, and then I'll welcome my guest today who has quite a lot to share with us. So, four cornerstones of spirituality. First, anchorage. Are we anchored? And where are we anchored? And when I say where are we anchored, I'm speaking about in terms of the source. Each and every one of us must know by now that we are not the source. We are part of a unified flow. Some people refer to that unified flow as God. Some people refer to it simply as the universal flow. Some people are better able to relate to it through nature. But however you feel that connection, we are here to support you and to let you know that the very first cornerstone of spirituality is to determine where your anchorage lies, because that is the cornerstone that will keep us grounded. Second cornerstone is sacrifice and service. And I know I'll have a lot of questions on this one, sacrifice, because some people already want to know why sacrifice and how is that linked to service. The third cornerstone is detachment. We must strive to get to a place of detachment from reaction, detachment from the things that are kind of frivolous in the world. And the fourth cornerstone has to do with forgiveness, which leads us to the ability to be humble. So the four cornerstones, anchorage to the divine source, sacrifice and service, detachment, and forgiveness that leads to humility. Now I'd like to turn our attention to our guest for today. Guest for today is Miss Susan Ruff. She is the author of the book, The Reluctant Donor. Very, 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 very interesting and good reading. She tells the amazing story from her own lifeline, which I think you will find as fascinating, interesting, and informative as I did. She is a volunteer and speaker in that pathway to raise awareness for organ donation, and she is the freelance writer, a freelance writer for the Charlotte Observer, and she brings to us what I believe is the theme of empowerment. Help me to welcome to the show Miss Susan Ruff. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
It's a delight to hear your voice. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And your story just simply inspired me. It was a story of in empowerment. It was a story that was wow. And it was a story that helped me to, reminded me that we as spirits walking this human experience, we are a whole lot stronger than we ever imagine. And it is not until we have the back against the wall that we begin to discover the amazing resources that we have anchored within us. I want to thank you for taking the time to write The Reluctant Donor. Thank you. I think it will bless many, many, many lives, especially the lives of my listeners today.
Well, I thank you for that. And I have to tell you, when you were listing the four cornerstones, I was thinking to myself that I would never have been able to do what I did without having each one of those four cornerstones play a part in making my decision.
Wow. Wow.
Each one. I mean, I could go right down the four and tell you exactly how each one brought me to be able to find the courage to do what I did.
Mm-hmm. So you have been walking with the cornerstones.
I definitely think I have been.
let's begin first of all by asking, I love to ask this question because it is such an eye-opener and it tends to set the tone for the rest of the interview. Do you have a favorite quotation? And what is it and why?
Well, I love quotations. I change them all the time, but lately I'm living this one. The one that my favorite is, live the life that makes all others not envious, but proud of you.
Wow, say that again.
Live the life that makes all others not envious, but proud of you.
Wow, that's deep. And one can even take a three-part show, really, on that. And now, why were you drawn to that one?
Because right now, everything I'm doing to promote and talk about organ donation is because of the people I loved most who died of the disease my family inherited. And I hope to be making them proud by telling their story.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, of course, when did you feel the urge to write the story?
I think I was writing the story my whole life because I'm always writing, but I didn't realize until my sister collapsed that I should really, really and truly sit down and do it for a purpose. So it's been, the seed has always been there, and I think it just sprouted when my sister collapsed and was in critical condition.
Okay. So, tell us about the book, story.
The story begins before I was born. My grandmother was diagnosed in the 1940s of kidney disease, and the doctors told her her kidneys were failing and there was nothing more they could do for her. And she went home and told my grandfather that she would like to have new carpeting installed in the house. She wanted the house to look nice for her funeral. And my grandmother was known for her dinner parties and her gracious entertaining. And within 3 months, she died with her 6 children at her deathbed. And my mother was the youngest of the 6. She was a teenager at the time. And 5 of the 6 children all developed the same disease that my grandmother died of.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Including my mother. And I was named for my grandmother. So I think that's when my story began, and the disease is one of the most, it's the most common genetic disease, and it is 1 in 500 have the disease, and it is more common than Down syndrome, cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and sickle cell anemia, but no one seems to know what it is. And that's when I got tired of hearing PK what, and I decided I would write a book about PKD, polycystic kidney disease.
Okay. And, of course, you're writing a book that comes of the living experience. You wrote a book that came out of a living experience of a family history, really, which is, I find that you must have been very courageous to not only have lived through the experience and the trauma and the emotions, but to be able, you've got to be an amazing writer to have been able to write through those emotions and bring to us a sense of this very, very, very human story. And I see we have to go to a break. These breaks just pop up.
Certainly.
It seems at the wrong moment. So we'll hold your description. I'd like you to really share with our listeners a summary of the book, and of course you know where the highlights and the high points are. I feel that it took amazing courage, not only to live through it, but to have had the courage to write it and share the stories, because you know stories are sometimes our most powerful weapons against repeating the old order. Because as we bring our information, particularly information that comes through live stories, live events, that can be written with emotions, the way you wrote, the organ donor, these are the places where we begin to strengthen those cornerstones that we're carrying within us. But right now we have to take a break. This is Spirituality 101. We will be right back with Suzanne Ruff and the amazing story of her life about the reluctant donor.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
If you are looking to shift from struggle to a life of alignment with your deepest truth, you'll want to tune in to Thresholds to Awakening with host Sway Emily Spilkin. Our program will help you discover that your deepest challenges are not mistakes, but opportunities to become who you really are. Thresholds to Awakening. Enter your darkness to find your light, where Sway speaks with spiritual luminaries, cutting-edge thought leaders, and experts in the field of transformation. Listen live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and today we have Suzanne Ruff, the author of The Reluctant Donor, with us. And she's going to summarize this amazing story that is recorded in The Reluctant Donor, which to me is a reminder of the power that is inherent within us. And it's also, to me, a story of empowerment. Suzanne?
Sure, I
would love. Tell us about it.
Well, I told you that my story began before I was born in the 1940s, and there have been 8 deaths from this disease, including my mother. And with the death of each one of them, they taught me a lesson. Each of them have a unique story. One of my favorite aunts was my mother's oldest sister, and she died when she was 45 years old. And her last gift to me was a typewriter. And I really feel as though it took me a while to understand, but I felt as though that typewriter was symbolic, and I needed to tell each of their stories so that my nieces and nephews, who also have a 50% chance of inheriting the disease, so that they know what courage and what faith and what spirituality we have. We're Irish Catholic family from the south side of Chicago. And with each one of their deaths and each battle that they did with this disease, they had incredible humor, incredible faith, an incredible grace, and each one of them did something to help. As I told you, my mother was the youngest, and my mother had a great sense of humor, but she was so courageous and so strong, and I don't want anybody to forget that. And what I learned was that it was deep within each of us. You can find the courage that you need to face whatever life throws at you. And I didn't want anyone in my family to forget that. And without the faith we had, I don't think we would have gotten to where I am today. And it's a great gift that we pass on to each other.
That's deep and very moving. Very, very moving. What would you say is the number one lesson that you learned standing in the throes of this history? What's the number one thing that you learned?
I learned that almost like your cornerstone three, that you mm-hmm. have to detach yourself from the frivolous things and from the and fill yourself with, for me personally, every day of my life now is filled with gratitude. And when you're filled with gratitude, it completely changes your outlook or your perspective. There's all of us face the same little annoyances. I had computer problems, then I felt like throwing my shoe across the room. we all have that. That's basic human. But you have to just stop and realize and take a break and go outside and look at the rain or the snow or the flowers, and you just have to be filled with gratitude.
Gratitude.
That's
unique. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did you become the reluctant donor?
Well, I named the title The Reluctant Donor because I went into it kicking and screaming, because I was, I tell everybody I'm a lot like the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. I have no courage, and I really and truly don't like hospitals. I don't think anyone does. I'm definitely not unique. But I just was afraid of hospitals and needles, and I have been known to faint at the sight of blood. So. But I knew that I really felt as though I was meant to give my sister one of my kidneys, because I knew that what her life would be like because of what my mother's life was like. And I was the only one that didn't inherit the disease. And I felt that there was personal responsibility that came with that lucky break that I got. And so I felt that that typewriter was a message that I was supposed to sit down and tell their story. So the name of the book, The Reluctant Donor, is because of how scared and cowardly I really was when I went into it. I did not want to do it.
What convinced you?
Oh, that faith that I talk about. I truly had to fight the fight within myself to do what I thought was right, and the fact that I knew that if I had faith and I trusted in God, that I would be all right, even though I was terrified. And I really and truly did just that. I learned how to just let go and relax, and my mom taught me that. So I just went with it, and I trusted, and I put all my faith in my religion, which is what I was supposed to do from the very beginning. And I learned that within me was great courage.
Ooh, so you started off with a label that you had attached to yourself. We attach a lot of labels to ourselves, you know, as we go along in life. I'm guilty of that one, too. You started off with this label that you had attached that said that you did not have any courage. You were lacking in courage. And you went through this experience trusting your faith in your God. That's what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
And as a result of trusting your faith in your God, you kind of tested that system, didn't you? And what you discovered, I am hearing, part of what you discovered is that you really had quite a bit of courage, and that you were only really masking it under a label. Would you put it that way?
I would say you're absolutely right. And even my sister didn't think I would. My sister knows me sometimes better than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not think. And in fact, the first thing she said to me was, "You're not brave enough." So that's how well she knows me. And truly, no one thought I would do it because I'm a worrier and I'm one of those nervous Nelly kind of people. And yet I really think that we all have hidden within us more than we ever give ourselves credit for. So you're absolutely right.
And these times that we live in, you see, what you're saying kind of like ties into, this is why I wanted our listeners to be able to hear this today. We are living in times that is demanding of us. We're living in the midst of a spiritual evolution. And therefore, it's demanding that we look inside and uncover what we have sitting in there. And so in order to force us to do that, we are experiencing trials and tribulations and discomfort in these times. But what I'm hearing from you, you know, when I went up and I read your book, what I'm hearing is that when the pressure comes on, we somehow find ourselves in detachment, that very, very strong cornerstone. We begin to detach from the frivolous things. We begin to detach, and as we detach, the more we detach, and the more we rely on the faith that we are. You know, I believe everybody has got all the faith they need. We don't have to grow it. We already have it. We're just not taking enough time, and we're not paying enough attention to uncover it. And so what it seemed to me is you had an experience, a phenomenal experience, that forced you to test that faith that you were already walking with.
Well,
and it led
I
you through a discovery zone that helped you to understand that you have more courage than you think.
And your last point about forgiveness, I had not been getting along with the sister that I gave the kidney to.
Oh.
And she was at my mother's funeral a few months before she collapsed. I told everybody she was crabby and irritable, and I was never going to speak to her again. And
wow.
Then a few months later, she collapsed and was in critical condition. And so the forgiveness aspect kicked in because I realized the reason she was crabby and irritable was because she was ill.
And I'm afraid.
I have a sentence in my book, illness brings you to your knees.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. So I looked at myself. I had become judgmental. I had to look long and hard at myself, and I realized how much she really meant to me. So it's every family has the same drama that my family does. We all are the same, and each one of those cornerstones, the four you mentioned, are part of everyone's life, and you just have to work your way through them. But you're absolutely right, Reverend, is that within each of us is so much more than we ever give ourselves credit for.
Yes, yes. And the cornerstones that we highlighted right at the beginning, anchorage, where are you anchored? When the trials and tribulations of life step in, we've got to be kind of solidly anchored. And it doesn't really matter whether you're walking the Buddhist tradition, the Christian tradition, the tradition that is nature. It really doesn't matter. Are you drawing closer to the source? And once you're kind of connected to the source, what I'm hearing there, it's your connection to the source and your faith that finally shone through. But these four cornerstones kind of pop up in your book, the way you've written it. They pop up very, very, very clearly. The anchorage to the source, the sacrifice and service. There comes a point in time, you know, in each and every one of our lives when we are ready to give service, and that service is going to lead us to have to sacrifice parts of our belief system. It's going to have to demand of us that we sacrifice parts of our being, and so that we can be of the best service. And what I'm hearing here is that you came through with the best two major services, one being the reluctant donor and the other one having the courage to write about it.
Well, I do love writing. But I do love telling stories, and telling true stories was even more of a pleasure. And just, I think all of us everyone has their own story. I've always believed that. And it was a pleasure to write it.
And of course, stories that come with the energy of experience. Who feels it knows it, Lord. Those stories that come with the energy of experience are the most powerful stories for us to relive, because they re-energize and they empower us on to the next level. And here we are again at our second break. So I'm going to ask you listeners to perhaps get yourself a sip of water and come back relaxed and ready for our next session. This is Spirituality 101. We will be right back after the break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
We are in the midst of a time of vast opportunity on our planet right now. If we can master ourselves, to have our minds be our allies, we can then lead the authentic lives we desire. But to get beyond the everyday mundane life chosen for us by our minds, we need tools. Sometimes we're not aware of the subconscious thoughts, beliefs, and conclusions our minds have made, and this is where we need the help. Tune in to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J. Kay, and receive those tools for clearing and healing, and feel what else is possible. Listen Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on 7th Wave.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and today my guest is Susan Ruff, and she is the author of The Reluctant Donor. Susan, it's just such a pleasure to be able to hear you speak. It's one thing to read the book. It's another thing to hear you speak. But I have a question. One of our topics a few sessions back was the topic of fear and how we have to move through it. We can't sweep it aside, we can't sweep it under the carpet, but important, in fact, if it is to serve us well, because it is an element of service in our lives, we have got to work through it. Now tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you, 1 being the least, 10 being the highest, where would you anchor the fear you felt when it became clear that you were the only one available to donate the kidney?
10 and a half. I was the highest. My fear was paralyzing. I was I told her I would give her one of my kidneys, and immediately said to myself, why did I say that? Well, I know that I can't do it. I will never be able to do it. And I often decided I would tell her that I changed my mind and I was not going to go through with it. There were many moments when I even said to my husband, I'm going to tell her that I cannot go through with it. And she, to her credit, she told me all the time when I did talk to her that I could change my mind, but something always held me back and I did not tell her that I was not going to do it. But I would tell myself, I'm going to call her today and tell her I've changed my mind. I cannot do this. I cannot have a body part cut out of me and given away to her. I cannot imagine myself going into the on a gurney in a hospital. I had never had surgery. And the way I got through the fear was a few things helped. One was prayer. I prayed constantly, daily. And I
was your prayer, could I ask this, was your prayer to be released from it, or was your prayer for God's will to be done? What exactly was the prayer?
To be completely honest, it went from, I cannot do it, to thy will be done.
Ah.
It took me the entire time to get to thy will be done. So I went through... I must have been one of the most obnoxious prayer person. My prayer was probably the most whiny, crying, desperate prayers that were being sent up to heaven. And I got to finally, thy will be done. I worked my way through it. I went swimming, and when I swam, I would just do lane after lane after lane of swimming and praying, thy will be done, thy will be done. And I swam so much I would exhaust myself, and that's the only way I could go to sleep.
Ah.
And the other thing is my rock of a husband. I have a wonderful husband and a wonderful two daughters that are incredible, and they helped me through it because my husband developed a mantra when I would sit up in the middle of the night and say, I cannot do it. He would say to me, you don't have to give her a kidney today. Nobody has to give any kidney today. All you have to do today is go to work.
I love that. Live in the moment.
And that, I learned that through him. Every day he would say, today we just have to go on a bike ride, and, or if it was Saturday, no kidney giving today, just go in the lawn.
Just that's
work
amazing.
In the garden. So that's how, between the support of my rock of a husband, my daughters who were with me each step of the way, and my the exercising, the swimming was so important to the way I worked through it. And my whole family has always been swimmers, and I think it comes from that. I have happy memories of all of my aunts and uncles and us swimming, and so that got me through it. Exercise, I guess. But that, and praying, my goodness, I prayed every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I like to pray, though.
Absolutely. I mean, if you listen to that sequence, water, of course, is the cleanser. There is a reason why in the Christian tradition we have to be baptized, wash away the sins, wash away the transgression, but also wash away the fears. There is a reason why Christ washed the feet as a pastor. I just did that in a prison last Thursday. Washed the feet of all those who came to the Lenten service, the Holy Thursday Lenten service, that it's intended to wash away transgressions, but not just transgression, but it also washes away our limitations. It washes away our earthly desires. And what I'm hearing here is that God kind of kept you in that water.
Oh, definitely. There's a scene in my book that I describe. I was in the swimming pool alone, And no one was there but me. And I had decided during that swimming session that I was not going to do it. I was going to tell her no. And something happened in that pool. And I always say that no one walked on water and angels didn't appear, but something happened to me in that water, and I knew down to the tips of my toes that I was meant to give my sister one of my kidneys. And that helped me enormously. It wasn't, no one appeared to me. It's not like I feel that, I had an apparition, but something did happen to me. I don't know if it was a sense of peace or what it was, but I just knew.
It's what my granddaughter calls, you know that you know. You see, we're supposed to start off first by believing, and then we're supposed to live by faith, and then we get to the place where we get to the, I know that I know that I know. And once we get to that place, doubt kind of falls away. Fear gets penetrated.
I know what I know, what I know. I love that.
Yes. Know that you know that you know. My granddaughter would say, don't you know no things, Grandma? But you got to the place where you know no.
From the mouth of babes.
Yes. And it took all that water to wash away all that fear. That's what I'm hearing.
I think you're right.
But what a happy ending.
Oh, I always laugh and tell people that my sister is happy now and she's nice again. And her daughter got married, and she was able to dance at her daughter's wedding, and now she's going to be a grandmother, my sister.
Wonderful.
So yes, it's an incredible gift that she's received and that I received in giving.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing is you broke through the limitations of fear. You moved past your will and surrendered. That cornerstone called sacrifice, you sacrificed your will and gave it up so that the divine will can come through.
Yes, and I have to tell you, my husband says that he is going straight to husband heaven because he had to put up with me, and my writing group has nicknamed him Saint William.
Oh, I would too. I agree with that. I mean, he kept you in the moment. I love that. Nobody has to give up a kidney today.
Yes. And then I kept telling, on the final day that it was the day of the surgery, I said to him, I've always dreaded this day because you can't say to me that I don't have to give a kidney today. And he said, well, then you don't know me very well, because after today, we will all be saying you never have to give anybody a kidney again. And we're all so proud of you. And he was right. I mean, he was just a rock. And I am so blessed to have such, I think the older I get, the more I realize that to be loved is the greatest gift you can receive,
yes,
too.
Yes, 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 yes. I had that beamed to me once from the other side, that the greatest gift we can give one to the other is the gift of love. So I'm hearing in this, you know, it was one thing to read the book. I read the book and it came through so strongly about empowerment, the empowerment piece. But what I'm hearing is that your story kind of emphasizes and reinforces every one of these cornerstones we're talking about. The anchorage, your anchorage with God, and your development and your growth of faith, your sacrifice to the service of lovingly giving to your sister a part of yourself, your detachment from all those, I call it a self-talk, and the labels that you had attached to yourself of not having courage and not being able to do that. You moved right through and detached yourself from all of that. And, of course, you entered that forgiveness process, which will humble us every single time that we're there. It brings the humility, and it allows us to move through and move past the petty things that kind of hold us back in life. What a wonderful, wonderful story. And what a wonderful ending to that story, to hear of your sister dancing and becoming a grandparent. What a wonderful ending. And I believe that you have manifested each of my four cornerstones for spirituality. And now we must take another break. We'll be right back. This is Reverend Norma, Spirituality 101. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation. Do you ever ask yourself, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What do I do next? Life energies are based on the chakras, and this is the foundation of holistic healing. Find the balance in your life by tuning in to Healing Possibilities with your host, Tracy Makarenko. Through engaging guests and Tracy's spiritual guidance, each week we'll explore a different modality of healing designed to help you find peace and wholeness. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is our last segment of the show, and today we have been listening to this wonderful story from Susan Ruff, author of The Reluctant Donor. Our byline today was the four cornerstones to spirituality, and I think Susan took us through all four in her story and in her journey. Susan, I would like for you to share with the listeners how they may get in contact with you, where they can purchase your book. I'm sure, I know you have a website. I suspect you have a blog. Give us some information.
Yes, I would love to. My website is thereluctantdonor.com, and the book you can purchase right off the website, or it's available at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of the book sites. You can order it directly from the website for your Kindle. It's an ebook. You can, my blog is on my website, and then also you can contact me on Facebook. There's a Reluctant Donor Facebook page and a Suzanne Ruff Facebook page, or you can tweet me at Suzanne Ruff. R-U-F-F is in Frank.
Now, while we were talking off air, you gave me a beautiful little cliche, and I'd like you to repeat it for the listeners about stories.
Oh, stories. So many stories, so little time.
That's right. So many stories and so little time to tell them all. But I'd like to encourage, I try to encourage my listeners and those with whom I come in contact with to tell their stories, because we need these stories that are chock full of energy, and they are chock full of examples of how we overcome, the ways in which we overcome. You know, there's a line in a piece of Bob Marley's music that says, who feels it, knows it, Lord. And so therefore there's a vast difference between a fictitional story and a story that is coming right out of the realms of reality, chock full of energy and emotion, that allowed the people in the story to overcome and to move past, and becomes that powerful empowerment tool to empower us to be able to trust enough and to move forward. I just want to bless you and thank you for taking the time to write The Reluctant Donor and to share and to be so honest as to share the fact that you did not just jump up immediately and was excited about giving your kidney, but rather that you were very, very kind of honest in your writing, that initially it was not what you wanted to do, but that with that faith and that trust, you were able to move through to that place of getting your own will out of the way, get through that cornerstone of detachment, and move through to that which you probably came here on earth to do.
Well, one of my greatest compliments from readers is when they say that they laughed and cried and then laughed again when they read my book. And I think that describes life. I think we all laugh and cry and then hopefully laugh again. So I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us today. I want to bless you and I want to honor your writing. And as I said earlier, you are a freelance writer for the Charlotte Observer, and I hope that God will guide your pen and guide your selection of that which you are sharing with the universe. Thank you.
Well, bless you too, Reverend, and I will read your book too someday.
I don't have to publish it today, right?
Not today. You don't only have to write a book today. You just have to do a chapter or a sentence.
Well, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
To my listeners, I want to thank you for taking the time today to be with us, and I hope that you have heard within this interview so much of the four cornerstones that represents our next lesson. Next week, we will go much deeper into these four cornerstones and how we can engage them and how we can support and nurture them, and that when we have supported and nurtured them, what we can expect. So next week's lessons will be part two of Cornerstones to Spirituality. In the meantime, I send you healing light. I want to send you divine love. I want to send you the spirit of overcoming, the spirit of empowerment in your lives. And I want to encourage you and help you to understand that it is time. We are living in times when we can now very, very, very comfortably peel off those labels that we have kind of stuck onto ourselves and behind which we are hiding. Because we live in times now that are extremely empowering. We live in times now where there is phenomenal levels of light and love and energy pouring onto the planet so that we can release our limitations, release and let go, and move forward into spiritual mastery. Remember, please, that you and I, walking on the planet Earth in 2013 in these phenomenal times, we each of us argued for the right to be here, to experience this phenomenal change. And that with every step that we take, every journey and experience that we have, every journey and experience that we share, we are refining ourselves and opening up those inner chambers so that we can become all that we can. And as we do that, we begin to change the nature of Mother Earth so that we can walk here, heaven on earth, as God intended. Be blessed, be at peace. Until next week.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.